So here's a story about a woman with dreams. So picture perfect at 13 and Ebony Queen. Beneath the surface, it was more than just a quick smile. Nobody knew about a secret, so it took a while. I can see a tear fall slow down a black tea.
Yes, people, welcome back to my channel. You are tuned in to the first, gonna be the first YouTube streamed as well episode of Cricket Talks Extra. This is episode 7 of the series Cricket Talks Extra, and I know I said I want to start episode 10 thereabouts to get it onto YouTube, but there's no rules. I thought, you know, why not just get started already. So this is the first episode that's gonna be available on all audio platforms, maybe LinkedIn if it does turn out to be in enough time, but all audio platforms on YouTube and maybe also Instagram, where I post my podcast updates. So this is Cricket Talks Extra episode 7. We're going to be talking through day 2 between Pakistan and New Zealand. Honestly, this day is going to be a bit of a chore to talk about, just because there hasn't been a lot of things that went in our favour. Going into the second day, Pakistan were all out 297 on the first. From the get-go, New Zealand had to bat. In terms of conditions, it was a lot better in terms of weather. There wasn't any rain. The pitch had dried up quite a fair bit. The outfield was slightly quicker, so New Zealand definitely made the right move. This toss is going to be a deciding factor, and it's going to keep being justified throughout the rest of the test, as New Zealand made the call to bowl first when it was still suiting them, when there was still a bit of rain, slow outfield, a lot of swing, and then the next day we had a lot of heat. So they obviously would have preferred it to be a batting day, just because it was a better drier wicket. So we went into it 297 lead first innings. New Zealand had to bat. I did make the prediction in the last episode that it was going to be if it was going to be consistent weather, I would have assumed that Pakistan could have put New Zealand in a similar position. I reckon they would have got a 330 by the time they got all out. And clearly I was wrong. New Zealand ended it, first of all, 286 for 3. Apart from a few early wickets-ish, Pakistan just, it was a really, really poor bowling performance, if we're being honest. So let's get started through that. Tom Latham and Blundell obviously opened the batting, as they do. Blundell took about 19 balls to score off his first, and Latham didn't take too long, but they looked pretty comfortable from the get-go. I think Shaheen was probably the only attacking bowler from there, in terms of the fact that he did manage to get who did he get out? I think he got Latham out, and then he got Nichols out early, but there was a no-ball called, and I think that was a massive factor. We've seen the effect of it. We did manage to get Fahim Ashraf, did get Blundell out early. He was they were bowling short to Blundell, which didn't make any sense, because if you know Blundell, you know he's a back foot player, like I mentioned before. So to be playing him, to be bowling short to him, to be bowling good length deliveries, didn't make any sense. And Mohammed Abbas started going slower. Well, not slower, he went shorter, sorry, when he bowls 120 clicks, and you know that with the speed of that, you've got to be bang on line of length. And he's proven that, and he's shown that if he bowls a good line of length, he can make batsmen, you know, just defend it back and not do anything about his deliveries. But he went out of his comfort zone for no reason. He was bowling shorter deliveries than he used to, and because it's shorter, the ball picked up better on the bat. He was bowling 120 clicks, so the ball was slower, just giving so much more time to the batsmen than they already have to score off deliveries. And you know, Blundell was more than happy to get on his back foot, pull a bus a few times, until Fahim Ashraf managed to get Blundell out, LBW, and then Latham out to Shaheen Afridi, who actually took, Harris Hill took such a sick catch. I think it rebounded off Sean Masood, and Harris Hill caught the leftovers of what was there. It was sort of bubbling in the air. So we got the two early wickets. Taylor came in, Williamson are in as a 3 and 4, as they always do. Mohammed Abbas managed to get Ross Taylor out, and Nick, I think it was, he just squared him up slightly and got him out for 12 for 33, which is good. You know how dangerous Ross Taylor is. Most appearances by a New Zealand player of all time now, 400 odd games. So it was a really good performance by Abbas in that sense. You could see how pumped up he was when he got his wicket. And then you had Williamson and Nichols, which, if you remember, the first test was probably one of the biggest partnerships, if not one of the biggest, with Ross Taylor having a good partnership with Kane Williamson as well, and then Jameson and BJ Watling's partnership as well. So Williamson and Nichols, to be honest, looking at those two, you know, on the scorecard it says 112 of 175 and 89 of 186. On paper, you'd think that they had a great day out, but if we're being honest, Latham and Nichols and Williamson actually looked pretty startled. I wouldn't say startled, I'd say they felt out of place. They're taking a lot longer than they usually do to get in. The word that they use, you know, to get comfortable in your innings, you know, those first 6, 7, 8 deliveries where you get a lot of nerves and stuff, and you're sort of battling those in your first part of your game. But once you do that, you're a lot more comfortable when you get in. Williamson and Nichols took a lot longer than they usually do to get in, and it was evident of that. They were shaking a bit. They couldn't quite get the ball off the bat where they wanted to do, and they took quite a long time to get off the mark. But that being said, Pakistan's bowling did not capitalize on that at all. The commentators mentioned it. I noticed it. I'm sure the Pakistan team would have noticed it. I'm sure Rizwan would have noticed it. They looked a little bit off towards the start of the innings, a lot longer than they usually would. And Pakistan were just bowling bad lengths, bad deliveries, constantly over and over. If you look at some of the economies that are going around, I know Shan bowled 2 overs, but 8.5 economy there. Nasim was pretty expensive, 72 runs of his 14 overs. Apart from Abbas, and Abbas didn't have a particularly good... If you look at the match, Abbas was bowling some pretty poor deliveries. If you look at the way Abbas bowls, like I said before, he's got to be bang on. And if he doesn't, you can score off him very, very easily. And despite that, he got a 1.85 economy. Shaheen bowled well. Apart from that, Fahim obviously with his 3 economy. But they didn't. They just let them get comfortable, is the way I'd put it. They didn't actually take any advantage of the fact that they took longer to get in. And I think once that period was over and Williamson and Nichols were in, they just kept going. They kept flowing. Great shots throughout the rest of the innings from the two. Nichols, I don't know how many more times he's going to get lucky. He got Shaheen's. Shaheen managed to get him out. I think Nick carried a lot more, and Rizwan took the catch, I think. But it was called a no ball. And I was watching the match, and at that point I said, you know, Pakistan were doing it again. I think at that point he was about 10, barely 10 runs. Williamson wasn't in much either. And I reckon at that point, that was when I was personally kind of realised that, you know, we've messed up. This is going to be like what we did in the first test, and they're just going to put up a massive total where we're going to have to be on the back seat now. And it was going to kind of go downwards from there. And clearly so, 112, 175. Williamson looked so much more comfortable from then on. He was picking the gaps really easily, rotating to strike. Nickel was the very same thing. He was getting horrible deliveries to score off, and that obviously helped towards him. I don't know how many more times he's going to get lucky, but he did. And you know, the scorecard speaks for itself. 286 for 3. When I said they were going to be reaching that sort of total all out, yes, there were conditions that suited towards them. And favoured them a little bit more on the second day. But the reality is the bowling did not help either. We talk about Pakistan being the bowling strong side throughout the years. But at this kind of point in time, somebody mentioned on Twitter as well that they made a good point. I reckon Pakistan's batting is probably stronger than their bowling right now. The inexperience that we're facing, it clearly looks like the development phase that we've been going through for the last few years, when we've lost the likes of Mohammad Amir, Sahil Khan, and those sort of seam bowlers. I think Mohammad Sami, not even that long ago, probably 4 years ago, when we've started to bring in a lot of these younger players, Naseem Shah, Shaheen Afridi, Fahim Ashraf, Shadab Khan, the inexperience is sort of coming into light now. We've been very successful in the past with these young players, but I guess the international cricket has now kind of got used to it. Williamson's got used to it. Nichols got used to it. And based the way we're going right now in away games, in conditions like these, I reckon we're going to have quite a few more matches where we're going to be put on the back seat and teams are going to be able to easily score 400 plus against us. And I think that's the reality. I think we're going to give it 2, 3 maybe years before Pakistan reaches a point with their bowling department where we can start to call Shaheen a veteran, because he's coming really early. He'll be like 24 with 6 years experience bowling international cricket for Pakistan. Mohammad Abbas is probably the most experienced player there, and he hasn't played a crazy amount of tests either, to be honest. Naseem Shah, very young, and Pakistan seems to be persistent with him. And I make the point of, you know, Naseem Shah should really be playing in the second test just because the condition would have suited him, but he hasn't actually done much. 5.1 economy, when 5.1 economy of 14 overs isn't good enough, frankly. And Sahil Khan actually has really good stats in the Hagley Oval. So I think it's the Hagley Oval where we're playing. Yeah. So I really don't see why PCB didn't make the move to bring him in if they were so confident in that. And we actually do need an experienced bowler now that you think of it. I don't think Mohammed Abbas at 120 clicks, I don't think he makes the cut as the experienced bowler, because we need someone who's just quicker than him. Mohammed Abbas is just the economic bowler who provides an anchor, but he's not necessarily swinging the ball around at 135, 140 that, you know, we kind of need. That New Zealand have Trent Bolt and Tim Southee. Australia has like four bowlers in them now. Hazelwood, Cummins, Stark, who else do they got? Neza, all these kind of bowlers. India has Shami, Bumrah, and they've got two more coming up in Saini and Mohammad Siraj. And, you know, England have it in Anderson and Broad. So, and then the younger players are Sam Curran. So we do need that kind of player. I do think despite having a Abbas, we're missing that sort of attacking 135 clicks player, and I don't think Shaheen has quite made that cut yet in away games anyway. And in home games, I'm sure we'll still be able to thrive with this bowling lineup, but not in away games. So 286 for three, that's how it turned out. 85 overs. They've pretty much, they're trailing by 11 at this point, and I reckon if I had to take a guess, if by the time, if they don't declare, we'll probably be, they'll probably make about 350 is definite. I reckon with the way that they're going and the momentum they have, they've still got Watling, Mitchell, Jameson and Tim Southee, who can, you know, kind of swing it a bit. I reckon they can get 420 very easily. And Pakistan's going to be the back pedal. We got to stand up with the batting performances. Every single batsman needs to stand up. Otherwise, we're going to be in a lot of trouble and we can't go home with the 2-0 loss. So, yeah, that's how day two kind of summarized, to be honest. I'm going to make a TikTok on this later in a 60-second summary and link it back to this extra episode. Let me know what you guys thought of day two between Pakistan and New Zealand. Where did we go wrong the most? At which stage do you think we kind of lost the game? I reckon for me, we lost it when Nichols got the no ball. And if we did that, you know, now we're looking at a 200 partnership. We could have maybe shaken up the momentum a dip like we did at the start of the day with our three frequent wickets, and maybe they'd be in a different position. But I reckon when Nichols got out and it turned out to be a no ball, I think that's where we kind of, I personally realised that it's all going to go downhill for us from there. So let me know what you guys thought. Pakistan kind of lost it. Where do you think New Zealand will end up with in terms of a score, and how you think the rest of the game is going to play out? So I've been Mo Blogs, however you want to call it. This has been Cricket Talks Extra Episode 7. If you're listening to this on audio platforms, follow the page, Cricket Talks, on any of the platforms, Spotify, iTunes and Google Podcasts. Follow the YouTube channel, Mo Blogs, which if you're watching visuals, you're watching on it now. And subscribe to the channel, like, comment, let me know your thoughts there. Or tweet me at @MoBloggers_, and we'll talk about it. So yeah, I'll see you guys on Cricket Talks Extra, what would be Cricket Talks Extra Day 3. Episode 8. And now here's a story about a woman with dreams. So picture perfect at 13 and ebony queen. Beneath the surface, it was more than just a quick smile. Nobody knew about a secret, so it took a while. I could see a tear fall.